Has anyone ever inspired you to create a more fulfilling and successful life for yourself? As a leader in your business and in your community, what are the questions that you ask yourself on a daily basis? What are the questions that keep you up at night? I am your host, Betty Collins. I'm a CPA, I'm a business owner, and I partner with other women, other business owners who want to have remarkable results for themselves and for their business and their community. And I'm here to help inspire you to take positive steps forward for a better life. So over the next 12 episodes, and kind of this season, we're going to focus on lessons learned. We're going to hear from other women who have learned lessons, and they're going to share with you. You know why? Because it's the right thing to do to help you navigate maybe similar situations that you're in, and you don't have to go through what they've gone through. And I hope to challenge you that you have lessons learned in your journey that other women need to hear. Never underestimate that part of your life and that story, because it will have impact. In my opinion, we're obligated to share those life lessons. In my opinion, we have a responsibility to each other, woman to woman, or women to men. But I really believe what we've learned in our lessons over our journey are impactful, and they need to be part of how you give back and how you help others. So today I have an interesting guest, and she is awesome. I met her. She was highly recommended as a speaker for a conference. And Brady Ware has a women's initiative, as most of you know, and we have an annual conference every year. And Eileen McDar was our keynote speaker last year, knocked it out of the park. People just loved her. And she has such a great story, and she has such insight, and she's written books. I'm going to let her do her own bio, because you always tell your own story better. I don't want to read that. But she just has a great career, wonderful with inspiring women and people around her and organizations. So we're going to talk with her today. One of the books that got me really just loved was Gifts from the Mountain, and she'll explain a little bit about this book, but it was just a cool, and the art in this book is so inspiring as well. But Gifts from the Mountain has a great story behind it. I'll let her tell it. And then she also has this book called Your Resiliency GPS. Just great books, great reads with a lot of insight in them. So I think you're going to enjoy what she has to say. And this year, as I came into 2024, I came in a little, maybe bruised in 24. I had decided, for some reason, I just want my world to be different, to run for public office in Gahanna, Ohio. And it was a cool experience, actually. It was really, as much as I hated losing, I came in last, but okay. It was a great experience. And what I realized from that is I needed to embrace the loss. I needed to learn from the loss. It wasn't about whether I got to the seat or not, but the journey of trying to get to the seat taught me a lot of things. And so then I said, hey, we're going to do things on lessons learned this year. And what's great is so many people learn lessons and they kind of keep it close to the chest. I don't want to do that. I want to share the lessons I've learned so you will have an easier time, that other people will go, oh, if she can do this and get through it, I certainly can. And what she has to say maybe help me, right? It's not even about an election, but it's about the times we try things and go out there and put ourselves out there, and we might fall. We might trip. Okay. And if we help others along the way with those lessons learned, we're a better world. We're a better place. And so that kind of got me started with, man, who could talk about the lessons that they've learned? Because as women to women, we need to share those. Not because you don't need to learn a lesson. Trust me, I needed to learn this lesson running for an election. I needed to learn that you embrace loss and you set back and you don't just say yes or no quickly the next time. And so it, for me, it has just been that. And, you know, Eileen came and spoke at the Brady Ware's Women's Conference. Very rarely do I have a speaker show up at 7 o'clock, help with the venue, talk with every vendor, interact the whole day, and by the way, paid for a guest to come and be at the conference. That was her. But then it didn't end. We still kind of texted and, you know, we had such a great connection. And then she decided to send me these books and the best lemon cake I've ever had. It was $20 of shipping costs and it was like she had pulled it out of the oven, put it in there and told the guys, get this over to Ohio. It was fabulous. So you're going to enjoy her today. And she's had some really cool lessons that she's learned, especially when we talk about gifts from the mountain. But I'm not gonna steal your thunder. So, Eileen, with that, tell us a little bit about yourself. I'm from Ohio. You're from California. We're just empowering women, though, with two completely different backgrounds. But talk a little bit about you for a minute.
Okay. Well, first off, I was born in Denver, Colorado.
Okay.
And spent most of my growing up until I was almost 30, 29, on the East Coast, Georgia, and then Florida, most of the time in Florida. Graduated from the University of Florida. I taught school at the Florida-Georgia border, and it was quite an experience, a very rural community. And then was director of marketing for Amelia Island Plantation there off the coast, and got divorced. Surprise! And when your soon-to-be ex-husband is the district attorney for the county, you don't stay. You go. You don't want to stay on an island either. And bless her heart, my sister opened up her one-bedroom apartment with a husband, German Shepherd, and a cat, and said, you can come and live with us, which I did. Drove from Florida all the way out to California, slept on their sofa, said, I'll cook and I'll clean in exchange for this. And that was how I got to California.
Okay.
And then, you know, it's interesting how life has this pattern. There was a man who came into Amelia Island Plantation the last year and a half that I was there as an interim general manager to work this property out of a Chapter 11. Bankruptcy. And lo and behold, he lives in Orange County, California, and we connected. And let me put it this way, we will be married 44 years on May 18th.
Love it. Love it.
We have celebrated our montheraries. May 18th, by the way, 1980 was when Mount St. Helens erupted. We did not do it. We're not in charge. We didn't do it. But we have celebrated every 18th of a month for now almost 44 years.
That's wonderful.
Which, by the way, for all of us women, if you want to do something, celebrate monthly. And what it does, particularly in a relationship and in marriage, it says, you can stay. You have one more month. Stay one more month. You know, and initially, Betty, it was, you know, go out to dinner, you know, have a nice glass of wine, whatever. Now it's who can remember it's the 18th of the month. And it says, first, happy anniversary. And you go, now we try to beat each other just by saying it. Anyway, bottom line is that once I got out to California, I worked for a national healthcare company for 1 year and then a PR firm handling primarily their multinational accounts, and got to the place where if I wrote another press release, I was going to throw up. So that was it. And so I started out on my own, you know, in the area of communications, which is what I know. And the speaking that you referred to, and I thank you very much. I was asked to, did a couple courses for a local college. And one of the program directors from a hotel out in Palm Desert contacted me and said, would you come and speak to, it was the Steel Service Center Institute out of Cleveland, Ohio.
Mm, okay.
And they were bringing their executives into the desert. And would you come and speak on this topic? And I said, oh, why? Sure. And then they said, what will you charge? Charge? I mean, when you work for a little college, you don't make anything. We had just gotten married. We had, you know, I adopted his three kids, going, oh my God. So I said, $750. And she said, I'll get back
to you.
I'll
take that. Yeah. No, sure.
I was like, whoop. she called about, 2 days later and said, "You're on." And I knew that I needed to speak to the executive director of the Steel Service Center Institute. Called the guy, and I needed some background information. And then he said, "We'll mail you a check for $1,500. What? $750. What do you mean, $750? Deposit, deposit. Called the meeting planner in the desert and said, "What's going on?" "Eileen, we always mark up outside vendors. 100%. So I learned two lessons there, Betty. Number one, no one would ever say what I am worth other than me. Number two, they were willing to pay $1,500. And the rest, as they say, is history. They brought me back a couple of times. They gave my name to the Copper and Brass Institute, the blah, 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 whatever. And so I've been doing this for a heck of a long time. Keynoting, team facilitation, coaching. So that's what kept me out of trouble and fed the family.
Yeah. Well, I can tell you when you were at the Brady Ware Conference, she started out with some high energy music, high energy. But I will tell you, when she told her story, there was not a dry eye in the place. So I would encourage you, if you're looking for a great keynote, you're looking for someone to come in and motivate the troops, this is it. This is it. So how I got, as Eileen and I have stayed in contact since that conference, and I talked to a little bit about, the election and winning and losing and lessons learned. She had sent to me this book, Gifts from the Mountain. And before we get into our theme a little bit more, because I'm calling it Lessons Learned. She's got a better title. Talk a little bit about Gifts from the Mountain, how that came about.
Well, first off, I love when you talked about the fact that you lost that election. And how you came into 2024 bruised. And you also said, "So what have I learned in this?" So you could sit in this great big funk and stay there. Woe is me, poor is me, or do something about it. And so this Gifts from the Mountain, when I married Bill, little did I know, I had an outdoor guy as a husband. And the family started backpacking. And this was one backpacking trek where instead of having our oldest daughter, who is strong, she and Bill would carry the heavy stuff, and I had my little backpack with whatever would go. And we'd go out, by the way, for 2 weeks at a time, up into the Sierras. And Bill is the kind of guy that if the John Muir Trail went left, he thinks we should go right. So we're bushwhacking. Anyway, on this one trek, it was horrible. Holly wasn't there. It was just Bill and me. We lost the trail. We are scrambling over rocks. We are in snowfields. And I had two thoughts. Either I'm going to kill him, or I have to discover what are the lessons that I can learn from this. And along the way, I would see things. And I had a little notepad. And I would write down, oh, there's a lesson here. Oh, there's a lesson here. And that's where that book came from.
Right. I loved it. I read it, and I've read it several times because it's so easy to read, but it's very insightful. And those lessons you're talking about, they were gifts from being on that mountain when you decided to go rogue, go off the path and have an adventure, which is the first lesson learned. But it was just really, we talked a lot about that. And then you sent me the resiliency book as well. But you really came up with a title that I love when we started talking about what could we do with Eileen. And by the way, the lucky thing for the audience is we're going to do this in two part because there's a lot there to talk about. But you said to me, what about hidden in plain view? And man, I wrote that on my desk. I have it on a sticky because it's like, what am I not seeing, right? And you talk about, because I even said this with my lessons learned from the election. Hindsight's really easy. I can go back and dissect it all, right? But the trick is how you turn hindsight into insight and foresight. Mm-hmm. So we're going to talk about that today with Eileen. And, she is the CEO of the Resilience Group, and she's an award-winning author. Check her out. We'll talk where you can find her when we get done with this session. But so let's go with some things. So why would we even look at our mistakes? you know, because that can be very defeating. So talk a little bit about why we look at the lessons, why we look at, you know, the gifts from the mountain.
Well, first off, let's reframe that word mistake.
Okay.
And now, by the way, when I talk out loud to you, Betty, I'm talking out loud to myself. And sometimes I'm good at this, and sometimes I stink. My husband says, Eileen, read your book.
Again, read it again.
When we say mistakes, is that should never have happened. And so when I screw up, which I do, more times than I like to think, I had to go back and say, so what was my lesson? So instead of calling it a mistake, say, where is my teacher? How is this my teacher? And so there's a lot of teachers, and they're not necessarily two-legged, you know, that we can learn from. And so I think first it's reframing what we say things. And also sometimes it's possible that where we think we screwed up, it puts us in a different place than we ever thought we'd be. And that in of itself is, that in of itself is a lesson. So now, right now, I'm going to clear something, because here's a lesson learned.
Okay.
I don't know if you heard that little ding. So I apologize.
No worries.
Let me just tell our listeners, if in fact we keep that little ding, is that there was a possibility that I would have another call. I did not silence it. My lesson, my teacher, is that when I get on these calls, I silence my phone. I no longer have Bluetooth going into my ears. I thought I was cool, but I forgot about those things. So that was a lesson.
Mm-hmm.
When we do this for part two, I'll make sure we don't have those calendar dings on.
No worries. We get rid of those dings, but we'll leave that in. So, but you know, you talk about the power of reframing. Mm-hmm. You know, talk about that a little bit to the audience, and that it's a growth skill.
It is a growth skill, and sometimes we're better at this than others. So if you think about reframing, and that's actually what I did with Gifts from the Mountain, because I could have kept saying, this is horrible, terrible. I hope we get out of this alive, which actually was one of the thoughts that I had.
You probably said that.
Yeah, I probably did. I mean, obviously I'm sitting here right now, so we got out of it alive. But the reframing is, if you hold up a picture, actually have a picture that I sometimes use if we were doing this live with a video, and on one side it looks like it's a horse. You turn it another way and it becomes a frog. Same picture, but when you turn it another way, you see the frog. Well, what reframing does is to say, oh, what if I looked at this a different way? Sometimes, in fact, if you become a third party, in other words, you would say to yourself, Betty, what are you seeing here, Betty? It's like there's another person outside of you. So I would say, Eileen, what lesson was that? How could you look at that differently? And it was fascinating. This Christmas, we had a COVID Christmas. I had my family down, my daughter and her family came down from Oregon. They come every other year. Everybody had COVID. Bill and I didn't. They ended up being quarantined in my other daughter's house. I never saw them. I just finally finished. I had food for 11 people for 4 days that we finally finished eating because we couldn't come together. So the reframing, and I actually wrote about this. I said, here's the way to reframe it. Isn't it terrible, horrible? Yes, and we really wanted to be with each other.
Mm-hmm.
How many families do you know where they don't want to be with each other? They have to put up with, oh my God, I have to see my sister. I hate my sister, blah, blah. So the reframing was, what this underscores is our tremendous disappointment, because we really love each other and we really want to be with each other.
Right. That's awesome. What a great way to talk. I mean, I like the whole reframe this, right? Because in your mind, you saw now your family totally different. Like you couldn't be with them, but you really wanted to be with them. And that was the insight, you know, mm-hmm. that, man, I have the family to be with. I know my family is 45. Actually, we're getting ready to have 46 when we get together. And it's the year of COVID. We chose to do a slideshow PowerPoint and then talk about the good old days, you know, and we just made the best of it. And the last slide was my dad, who loved Christmas. And it was very emotional. We just sat and went, he's the reason we're even on this call right now, 45 of us. Right. Wow. So reframing, I mean, what a great way. And to the audience, I mean, it is a growth skill. You will grow through that. And yes, now you had enough food for January and February, right? But that's the other side, right?
But so the nephew that came down from Tahoe had sent in advance a honey baked ham. And I already had a honey baked ham.
Okay.
It's still in the freezer, Betty.
Well, when I come to California, we can have the honey baked ham outside.
Yes, you can. Well, actually, you have to come before Easter because I've decided now we're going to have, if I could say, Eastmas. It's Easter and Christmas together.
There you go.
And I can't get my family up in Oregon, but I can get the ones that are down in Solana Beach. I'll get my sister to come down with her husband and the dog. You know, so we're going to have Christmas dinner at Easter.
Yes.
And she gets to make cheese grits because that's our Christmas tradition.
And you've reframed it beautifully. So all good. But let's talk about something that really, you know, we don't want to say mistakes because I kind of like that. But there was definitely some things in your life that you're going to share with us that actually is very personal, but you're going to share those with us. And you reframed them. And one was divorce and recovery. And the other was job loss and talent found. Let's talk about those things so that we can bring it in. So people can really hear, as you've written books and you've done these things and you teach on this, but it's been real for you in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And divorce is never easy, but recovery is awesome. So,
well, first off, when the gentleman that you're divorcing is a prominent citizen within an area. He's since passed away. And it's a hard decision. And I can remember I would go to this one priest for counseling because I was raised Catholic and divorce is not something that Catholics do easily or at all. And he recommended it's an association for divorced and separated Catholics. And he recommended a book to me. And the title was Choose Life. And it's from a biblical saying that says, choose life that you might live. And I realized that by staying in a relationship that was not working, that was not right, that for many reasons, which I choose not to go into, but that I needed to choose life so that I might live. And that alone, that reframing, I know when I got in my car and I drove west, it was as if this tremendous weight with each mile was getting lighter and lighter. So that when I came with no job, you know, but I did have a sister, you know, and I had a place to live, I was choosing life so that I might live. And whatever opens up is what opens up. So that was one of the hard things. But that's how I got through that. Choose life. Choose that life. You might live.
And you basically reframed. That's what you're talking about.
Yeah.
You know, I've been through the same thing and I kind of chose the same thing. If there's no joy, what's the point? You know?
Well, there you go.
Yep.
There you go.
So,
and what's interesting, I want to underscore the word that you use, joy. Happy is transitory. Joy is internal. And even in the midst of what looks like unhappiness, because happiness can be fleeting, what is the resident thing that gives you joy? And, you know, Betty, talking to you gives me joy. Being with the women from Brady Ware, oh, my God. It gave me joy. I had that was my high school friend and college roommate that I brought in to the conference. And I went back to Cincinnati with her and spent 2 days. Well, my flights were all canceled and I needed to get home. But reframing it said, you know what? What gives me great joy is being with Carol. And I'll walk her dog and I'll listen to the birds and I'll look at all those trees because it was June and they were in green, which we don't have in Southern California. And it was there was an unhappiness that I couldn't go back to where I came from, but there was such joy in being with her in that place at that time.
You know, and we've talked about some of the things about your divorce where he would talk to you in certain ways or he would, you know, treat you in certain manners. And that was kind of that hidden in plain view thing. You saw it later and it was always there. I don't know if you want to talk a little bit more about that or you've gotten personal enough, I'm good. But it was a relationship where it was hidden in plain view, all the things of all the red flags, you know, all the things. And then obviously you were able to go and apply your Gift from the Mountains book before you wrote it and say, these are the gifts that I got, you know, just even the peaceful drive from Florida to California and the release of all that. That's pretty substantial.
You know, it is. And like my mom is the one that saw things and called mom. She said, why does he never call you Eileen? Why does he always call you baby? And I thought, oh, isn't that sweet? She said, you have a name. It's kind of like I have a colleague and he never calls his wife. He always says, my wife. He never gives her a name. He never says Maria. He never says Maria. But for me, it was baby. So I was like this China doll to dress up like a little baby doll. And this baby, and he would introduce me to people as baby. Our friends called me baby. And I accepted it because, oh, isn't that sweet? Instead of, that's pretty dysfunctional. So,
but it was hidden in plain view, right?
That's exactly it. I had beautiful clothes. I had jewelry. I had things that you would put on a doll baby. But the love, the deep acceptance of me as a human being with value other than something to be dressed up, that was not in his capacity to do. A good man, but not a man for me.
Well, sometimes as we are going through this lessons learned and you're in scenarios that aren't working well. And sometimes, unfortunately, it is hidden in plain view and there's a time and season you will see it, right? But then when you see it, man, you've got to reframe it. You got to look at it as a gift and you've got to go on. Is that a good summary of all that?
You know, I think it is. And here's the other deal. Had I not been on that island, Amelia, it's an island. It's 3 miles wide and 12 miles long. That's all it is. And this man that came in to work the property out of this Chapter 11 bankruptcy is the man that now I've been married to for 44 years. Had I not been on that island, had I not gone through all of those things, I would not have had my Bill, the most incredible human being. I mean, just if I could clone him, Betty, I'd never work a day in my life. I could sell him for a lot of money. But what at face value looked, oh, this was bad. Thank you. Thank you that I was there. Thank you. And that gave me Bill.
Right. Well, let's talk about the other thing that's fun, job loss, but talent found. Let's talk about that. Lessons learned, gifts from the mountains. Now we're going to go from job loss to, hey, we found some talent that you know.
Actually, when I left those two jobs, and by the way, the lessons learned, I worked for women both times. One was the vice president and the other one, it was her own company. And I learned how not to lead. It was the first one was incredibly dysfunctional. Hmm. And when I finally walked away, I thought, wow, boy, did I learn something there. Because you don't necessarily learn from people doing things well. You learn from people doing things wrong. And the second one, It was all about how much money can this organization bring in. Doesn't matter if the client is a match or not, we'll take their money. Mm-hmm. I could never do that. And so when I left, and here Bill and I are married, he has three kids. He had come out, you know, and didn't, you know, he was trying to do a consult. I had no money. I think I had $1,000 in the bank, and I had an old Camaro. That was it. And what I discovered when you said talent found, I never honored the fact that I was a really good wordsmith. I never honored the fact that I'm a really good teacher. I knew that when I was at the rural school, you know, at the Florida-Georgia border, but now I'm with adults and surely I don't have anything to give. And lo and behold, I am good at this. But I never acknowledged that. I never had an opportunity, a stage, if you will, both figuratively as well as literally, for which to use those gifts and an ability to, I discovered, I'm funny. I love to laugh. I love to get people to laugh. I do that when I'm, you know, when I'm running down the street and I see people and I'll, you know, whatever. And we smile at each other. And nowadays with this, the amount of dysfunction that's going on in our nation and the world and the hatred, I think the ability to smile at people, to acknowledge that they exist, because we live now in this little, you know, social media bubble, is really an important gift.
Yeah. Well, and really, when you look at, you know, you took your job loss and you're like, oh my goodness, these weren't fits. And we do this in our careers. It's over. It's like, no, you have 40, 50 years to work your entire life. You have plenty of time to really look at hindsight, to see what was maybe hidden in plain view, to find a different talent. I know for myself, as a CPA, I was in a small firm. I did my deal, loved everything about it. And then I came to Brady Ware, kind of fight, kicking and screaming a little bit with it. And right there in my sight was a tremendous amount of opportunity. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't and didn't see it. My husband said, you are going to go back in that office and go up 15 floors and you're going to be Betty Collins and you're going to seize your moment. Sometimes it takes the other people in your life. They're seeing it, like your mom. She's talking to you. She's mm-hmm. seeing what isn't obvious to you. Same for me. Mm-hmm. So I can't emphasize enough. Let's take the word mistake out. Let's talk about lessons learned. Let's really focus and lean into the reframing, because it's a growth skill and growth is always good, especially when you go back to hindsight and look and like, man, look how I came through those times.
You know, and everyone can do that.
Yes.
You know, like I remember I was facilitating one group and we were talking about change. I said, I want you to go back and think of something that was a significant change for you. And now you're sitting here. Tell me what helped. How did you get through it? And people hadn't gone back and reframed the change. Also, they said, well, I did this. And they never, until we had that conversation, they never looked at the power that they had to move them from point A to point B in this, what at face value looked like a negative event. And then I said, and the truth of the matter is, you still have that skill with you.
Yeah.
You didn't lose it.
Right. Well, now that you talk about negativity, let's talk about negativity. Because one of the things we talk about, you know, how can we help others who are going through maybe what we've already gone through, or you're trying to help them see, you know, what's hidden in plain view, or you're trying to get them to reframe and grow. You know, we get pretty caught up in negativity and it's a spiral, right? And it just can take us down because of the mistakes that we haven't said, these are lessons learned. We haven't got there yet, right? Mm-hmm. So how do we help people get out of the negativity so they can even see what's in plain view, what they can even look at hindsight and not go, you know, get exhausted, exasperated of it?
You know, that's a difficult question because there are some people who I almost think they've got a negativity gene.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
We have a friend, God rest his soul. But honestly, this guy, if you said the sky is blue, he'd say, no, but it's really gray over there. Just look at that little piece of gray over there. Or I remember going into a church with, I have an aunt that could be very, very negative. And you're sitting in church in the pew, and I'm thinking, oh, isn't that beautiful? The sun is coming through all those stained glass windows. She says, oh, that's terrible. The sun is in my eyes. She couldn't look at the beauty that was coming in through the multicolored windows. It was how bad this is. So I think, number one, we have to say that you can't save everybody.
No.
So there's
not
some
their
people.
Job.
And the line is, there appears to be a difference of opinion.
Mm-hmm.
I see it a different way.
Let's agree to disagree.
But that's true.
But when it came to negativity, when you talk about gifts from the mountain and you're out there with your husband and all of a sudden we're going to go off on a different path because we love adventure and we're going to do it without our adult children who can help carry things and we're going to have a great time. At some point, you took that negativity and you said, I'm getting paper and pencil out. Talk about that, because that, I mean, you could have really just been miserable. I would have been miserable trying to go, I don't want to walk anymore. I'm exhausted. I need running water. I would have thought of everything under the sun. You chose to take a pen and paper out. So talk about that. And then talk about one of the things that you really, when you had that pen and paper out in the midst of a very bad situation, talk about that a little bit to the audience.
Well, by the way, and we did almost run out of water.
Yeah, you were there.
Got down to where we could get some water and refill stuff. And that's the one thing, you can run out of food, but you do not want to run out of water. So that's such an interesting question. And with that piece of paper, I would take something. I'll give you an example. When you're climbing up, you're conscious of every foot, where it goes, it's hard, you're bending forward. Where I would fall is when we were going downhill. And I would fall going downhill because downhill is harder than uphill because we take it for granted.
Hmm.
I wouldn't see, it's called scree, which are these little pieces of rock. My boot would hit scree and I'd go, bup, bup, bup. They're going down the hill. And that's when it also talk about hitting. I said, oh my God, downhill is more dangerous than uphill. And when you think about that, if you are climbing the corporate ladder, it's one thing when you get to the top of the mountain, but there's something on the other side. And it's more dangerous because we become cocky. We think we know it all. We're not as careful as we were. And that's what happened to me. So that was like one of those lessons where I said, oh, Eileen, downhill is more dangerous than uphill. When we were looking for something to put in, we carry ramen with us, right? Easy to fix ramen. You can boil the water. And I saw these green shoots. And I said, I think those are wild onions. And as I was digging them up, and they were wild onions, and we could cut them up and put them in the ramen, I realized that how many times when something looks dull and boring, do we not look for what's the spice that I could add to this? What's something else that's here? And so that's one of the lessons, is to watch for wild onions. What are the things that I can add to this? So it wasn't that things would happen and I would see it. I'd go, oh, wow, okay. And then when I got back home and got into my office and started writing, I thought these are things we can all use. And I think the hidden in plain view is, to me, the magic of metaphor.
Mm-hmm.
Metaphor is a huge teacher. Every teacher, good teacher, and I don't care whether you're talking about Buddha, Muhammad, Jesus, it doesn't matter. When they wanted to give lessons, they used a metaphor.
Mm-hmm.
It was always a metaphor. And so metaphors are powerful things. So you look at one thing and say, oh, what else might that be?
Right. Right. Well, I think, I'm going to recap a little bit and we're going to continue on. But I look at the theme today, lessons learned, hidden in plain view. And I love how you're sharing with, hey, reframe it, grow is a result of that. Secondly, take your mistakes and quit calling them mistakes, even though they are. Use a better word, right? And in the negativity that you can get into and not see hindsight and not take, it takes away that hit what's hidden in plain view. Get a notebook out and start writing. Is that a good way to say it? Because you were able to really capture so many things. Because I can tell you right now, if it would have been me, I would have been going, I didn't come here to dig onions. That would have been me. I wouldn't have said, look at the spice we can have now in the Roman noodles. Because, honey, you took a detour and we're stuck out here and we need water. But, you know, those are things in our in dealing with lessons learned this year that I really want to be able to share with people and to get it out there. I would highly recommend that you check out Eileen. Where can we reach you, Eileen? What's your websites? You know, it has your books on it. And of course you speak, but what are the...
So if they can spell my name, which you're going to use in the podcast, all I have to do is www.eileenmacdar.com, or they can also do the Resiliency Group. The reason I say Eileen MacDar is sometimes that's easier to spell than resiliency.
Gotcha.
Both places will get there. My books are up there. They're also on Amazon.
Okay.
Whatever works for you. Right. It's there.
Well, I can tell you, if you need something good to read that has a lot to it, but yet you don't feel like you have to read it three times to understand it, these are the books for you, and you're going to get in there. And as you're going through and journeying where you need some help with some mistakes that need to be lessons that you're going to then tell someone one day, this is a place that you can find it. We're going to wind down today, and we're going to have part two where we're going to talk about some more fun things on Hidden in Plain View, Lessons Learned with Betty Collins with Inspiring Women. More about Inspiring Women can be found on BradyWeir.com, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. Thank you for listening.